You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
I don't know if I have this look right, because Chris Cody, I would say, is generally the most positive or the most generally consistently affable among us. You don't see Chris Cody having a whole lot of bad mood days. He's fairly consistent over the years, temperature wise. But I see, I think, I've known you since childhood, what looks like a sadness in your eyes, that you don't look exactly right to me. You look a little despondent compared to where your mood generally is.
Yeah, it's been harder to get out of bed in recent weeks, and I didn't know why until it hit me. Football's gone, and I have a post-football sadness, and I think we all have it. Maybe you haven't acknowledged it yet. I can see you have it, Tony, just by looking at
you. It's something that men don't talk about.
Right.
They're not comfortable talking about the fact that their mood has been altered by the secret private depression they have.
And I came up with something. I was like, it can be anyone who's struggling like me right now. We can all do this. Let's all make a goal. Let's all set out to do something, maybe improve something in your life, eat a little better, spend more time with your family. And let's try to complete this goal by the start of football season.
It's like 190 some odd days until football season.
So it's all like right now?
No, it's roughly 40.
Not that I'm counting.
That's spring football is back, baby. The UFL. It took the two biggest spring football leagues and combined them, and AJ McCarron decided to come back to the Battle Hawks.
But real football is what we're talking
about.
That
is real football. It's real good football.
Let's talk about this for a second. Both your sadness and Mike Ryan. I heard that he listened to an 80-minute podcast the other day about AJ McCarron.
It was on YouTube.
Choosing not to go back to the Cincinnati Bengals so he could go to the UFL's St. Louis Battlehawks.
Did you at least double speed it?
No, you can't. It was on YouTube, and I wish
Boomer,
that
Boomer, you can do
yeah,
that.
You can
on
watch,
YouTube,
yeah, you can watch yeah. YouTube
oh, wow.
faster.
Okay, cool. Can you teach me?
I can.
Because I will admit that speed? 80 minutes is a long time to watch. So you go to playback speed and you double it.
Yeah.
That's a relief, because I spent 80 minutes. Waiting for AJ McCarron to tell me whether or not he was coming back, and I had to wait two more weeks.
He could have been talking like this, and then you could have got there a lot faster.
Really? And they do that on the mobile, too?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Click any YouTube film.
All right, hang on.
Jeremy, my two-time speed is pretty strong. I can do it pretty well.
It was pretty good.
Thank you.
That's amazing.
Walk me through this.
I think it'd be excellent if you tried to stay
in death punishment? For one show, you have to do double speed?
Well,
I can do it as long as you want. I just need to really think about what I'm going to say so I have something to say when I'm talking. Thank you.
Do you think that you can do that without messing up? Because
I already messed up.
Yes, I know. I know. I noticed that you're lacking confidence, but you came in very strong. I also am enjoying, and I have to enjoy this, Mike Ryan being dismissed as boomer by Tony.
And right now he's literally showing him. He's like, what you do is you push this button.
But that should be the response instead of getting defensive like me and your dad would get about. Like,
that's all right.
I want to learn.
Yeah, I want to learn. What do I do? The gear. I press the gear. It's not really cooperating. Okay, yeah. Playback speed. Yeah. How about that?
All right, can you guys speed up the sound of the sadness in Chris Cody's voice as he talks about this post-football depression that he has?
There is an establishment in Miami, Staple, Arbetter's Hot Dogs. That is the only wooden
That is so much better. Thank you, Tony. Wow, I'm embarrassed, but I mean, I'm trying to get better and learn and not just say, oh, you know how that would land with other people? So you guys would be like, ah, oh, forget it. Just, you know, just one speed. That's great. Thank you for teaching me.
It's really a game changer, Mike. You can watch many videos, multiple speed. It hits every time.
You don't have the confidence.
He's now at 4 speed because people listen 2.0 speed. Now they're at 4 speed because he's doing 2.0.
Mike, did I hear correctly that what you played was sound from a show earlier this week in which I believe this? I don't believe we've talked enough about how disrespectful the controversy was that Greg Cody, as Ron McGill, talked about the great honor that it was to be inducted into the Arbetters Hall of Fame, a Miami institution. That Greg Cody couldn't stop laughing every single time it was mentioned, that Ron McGill was truly flattered and honored, and Greg Cody was mocking what was the honor of a lifetime. Clearly mocking it. Laughing at it each time.
Is that a new feature, the playback thing? Because
they've had it for a couple years.
They had a couple years? Wow, I've never seen anybody talking about this. I've never eavesdropped the conversation where someone's like, yeah, 2.5 times speed it. I've just been out here.
It could have been 40 minutes that you were listening to that AJ McCarron podcast.
Yeah, I just assumed that there was no way. I never even thought to look. I would have thought that this advancement in technology, I would have known about it. Yeah. I'm sure I'm going to get dragged for it, but I'm not embarrassed. Look, guys, I'm trying to improve.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I agree with my dad. It's an odd honor.
Why is it an odd honor?
Honor. It's just strange, man. It really is.
You sounded a little like John Gruden.
What I don't understand, what I don't understand about all of this is why is there a USFL division and an XFL division, but the Houston Gamblers are the Roughnecks, which is, as you know, famously the XFL branded
team. That's the part you don't understand.
So if you have two divisions, do you have one?
So, I mean, the season kicks off with champion versus champion. That's all cool. But you're supposed to have 4-4. Yeah. Supposed to have 4 USFL teams, 4 XFL teams. By the way, the tragic part in all of this is teams went away. Wow. There's actually fewer opportunities, though like the spring football whole deal is presenting opportunities here. But for the league to survive, you had to actually reduce the number of opportunities there are over there. So you have a division for the USFL, a division for the XFL. However, the XFL teams outnumber the USFL teams, and you have the Houston Roughnecks in the USFL division, where I would have thought the Houston Gamblers, that is a proud tradition that they have. This is a franchise of Jim Kelly. Why would you opt for the Roughnecks over the Gamblers? Dan, your thoughts?
I think Mike is overcompensating here. I think he is super sad that real football is gone, and he is just totally faking all this just to make himself feel better
faking
about this.
No, at Levitard Show, please put it on the poll. Do you question negatively the judgment of someone who listens to an 80-minute podcast of A.J. McCarron going to the St. Louis Battlehawks?
And we know he's going to go back to the NFL when he's done. Like, there's no way he's going to be like, nah, I'm good.
No, this could be –
He asked for his release from the Bengals.
He got emotional last year. Part of the heartstrings being pulled last year during the XFL season is he took this pay cut because he wanted his children to see him play this position. They don't have memories of him doing it for Alabama. He's like, I got to show my kids that I can do this at a high level. It's actually really cool. And not only does he go to the Battlehawks, but so does Brandon Silvers. And now you're talking about an embarrassment of riches for the Battlehawks, who added Ja Pearson from the Sea Dragons.
I got to be honest, Mike, I have not been in, but that A.J. McCarron story actually may have just gotten me. That's pretty cool to think that there's a guy who's
this
trying.
This would be like if Manu went to Dania. Like, what are we talking about here? These are two different leagues. This is not even close.
I saw A.J. McCarron play at the highest level in college football, and the idea that now, all these years later, he's trying to basically resurrect moments for his kids, like for his kids to be able to see, hey, your dad can play.
And if you watch, to share that, that's
really special.
If you watch the Spring Boulevard interview with Matty Fresh, AJ McCarron is actually taking this job, returning to the UFL. It's not just selfish on his part. He's trying to fight for the league. He revealed that he has sent several DMs to The Rock that have gone unresponded. He left them on
red. He revealed
red.
That.
Yeah, and he revealed that Yikes. The XFL players had to sign up for the USFL Players Union. They're rep by the Steelworkers Union, and they don't think it's actually such a great thing. These people have only $1,000 stipends. I mean, there is something really heartwarming and something really relatable by all these athletes trying to make the decision to incur, in some respects, lose money over their day jobs to chase this dream.
We're talking union efforts. You really got me.
It's like Manu going to Dania.
I mean, if it would be like that, it's just a much lower level league.
It's not like that. And I go back. I circle back around to the original sadness. You believe that there's a post football.
You guys haven't felt it. I'm actually like not doing a bit here. Like I woke up, like it's just been hard.
You
like,
woke
this week,
up sad. Because
I'm just like, maybe it's
because
of the industry we're working, where it's just like, God, we were so excited, and Vegas is done, and we're just thinking here. We're just like farting out.
You know what
like,
the number one
farting out?
No, I mean it's just it's.
I'm like
sad.
Our show better when it doesn't have football.
Maybe it's not show related. It's just I miss football.
Farting out.
I miss. Are we still gonna do Thursday Thunder?
We are in a weird part of the calendar because network television history was made this last week. Because the Daytona 500 got delayed a day, that allowed for a specific type of program to be the number one show on network television. This was the first time this happened in recorded history. Do you know what it was? The number one show on network television in this country last week, because of the cancellation of the Daytona 500 and it moving to the following week, was Friday Night SmackDown. Wrestling was the number one network program on television last week. So it's slow. It's real slow. And we need the Battlehawks to come back because
it's not that slow.
The ratings,
baseball
were quite good.
Is almost here, guys. Do not fret. Spring training baseball coming at you.
P's and C's.
It is not that slow, and I tend to like our show more when it has vastly less football in it. I don't like how much football has taken over our show, never more so, I don't think, than last year. It's too much, and it's just because it's a commonplace somehow where everybody is watching. And I don't think Chris is alone in having a sadness in his eyes about the intensity of snorting football. It's how it is that keeps getting bigger and bigger. The gambling is part of it. There's something about gambling on football that seems to be more enjoyable than gambling on the other sports. I don't know what's happening there. I really don't, because I mean,
hitting a bet in any sport's pretty fucking awesome.
But you were talking, you at least in part are enjoying that your Sundays, you clear out one day to gorge on the gluttony.
Oh, let's get nasty.
That is, well, you're the dirtiest. You're making an assortment of bets all over the place, and hundreds of dollars are running up and down every field.
You guys do the thing, right? Where it's like 8 p.m. and you like smell your armpit and you're just like, yeah.
Do,
good day.
But with my inner thigh.
No. Oh, the inner thigh? Yeah, I've been there.
Sick.
No.
That's
yeah.
So oh, shut up.
I'm like,
oh, shut up.
It's
like shut up, but you don't know. Okay.
No,
all right.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm the idiot. No.
It's the real test. It's the real test. It's, the real test. It's when you need.
You're not putting your finger in your ass. Come on.
Listen to me.
We're not monsters.
I am not.
Dune book.
Admit you've done it.
I am not judging that you said it. Or that it happened. I am judging that you said it out loud. That you admitted.
Guys, I'm
that.
Trying to get better here. Yeah. This is a human experience.
It's that seat, man. You say crazy shit.
No, it's not crazy shit. It's just, oh, yeah, no. I'm crazy for saying I occasionally put my finger in my inner thigh
I'll
to
do
see
it
if
right
I need
now.
To take a shower.
No, I'll do it, right now.
Do it right now.
I don't have to do it right
football.
Now.
I'm the
do
only
right
one
now.
That does it.
No, guys, nobody said you were the only one who did
he's
it.
He's got
to
do it right now.
I showered this morning, so I don't need to
do it. Don't do it.
Do it right now.
Be surprised. You're going to do it.
Be
surprised.
I'll do it.
Don't do it. It's a swampy region. It can't.
Don't zoom. Why are you guys
zooming in? We don't need to see it. Relax, guys.
You should not feel shame for this.
So you should
do it.
Feel
we just
shame.
Also shouldn't see it.
No, we shouldn't see it. We shouldn't talk about it. It should
theater
be
of the mind. Let's move the camera a little up, and my hand will just disappear. Huh? About it.
But it's
take
better.
Me. They gotta follow you.
No, but it's especially
take
gross
me.
On a Sunday night after 8 hours and all.
And you still got the Sunday night game too.
You shouldn't say that out loud. You should keep that to yourself.
Well, come on. What's the result?
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Don Levitard.
If all the rain drops were lemon drops and gun drops, oh, what a rain that would be.
Stugatz.
Standing outside with my mouth open wide. Ah, 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 ah. If all the rain drops were lemon drops and gum drops, oh, what a rain that would be.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
All right, we're here in Indianapolis. And we got a very special guest. He is the youngest player to ever compete in the FIBA World Cup. He was 16 years old. He's now the old age of 17 years old as he sits down with us. His name is Kaman Malwach. He is part of the NBA Academy Africa in Senegal. And he's here part of the Basketball Without Borders program. They've got a little game or tournament happening here at All-Star Weekend, which is a great kind of look to the future. So, Kaman, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Kaman, you just come in fresh off of a recruiting visit.
Yes.
You've been to Kansas and you've been to Kentucky so far?
And Duke. Yes.
What's that experience like? Because, you know, for high school players here, it's a big deal that, oh, I went on my campus visit to these great schools, great basketball programs. But, you know, you're coming from the NBA Academy over in Dakar.
Yes. So
all of this must feel very new and very stimulating, right?
Yes, it really feels new. The last two visits felt all right because I went on the first one. Mm. But it feels different, especially during the game time, and then all the fans are there, and then the crowd, and then you see the guys play, and then you imagine yourself being on that court. Yeah. It feels really different, and the feeling is special.
Does it make you just want to be out there?
Yes. Like sometimes I'd be like, what if I was just dressed up and then warming up with the team and play?
What atmosphere felt the most exciting to you?
I think all of them. Yeah. The atmosphere was great. Started in Duke in Cameroon, and then I went to Allen Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. Great fans and Big Blue Nation. It's like they all have great fans. Like their fan base is really up there.
Yeah.
How familiar are you with the different college programs before coming over here?
I didn't know much about that, but I knew how college works, how they play, but I didn't know the culture in the schools because I've never visited any school before. So I went and found out and checked up all those schools.
You came here from NBA Academy in Africa. What is a typical day there like for you? What is that schedule like? I feel like I don't think a lot of people know.
Yeah.
What you hear about it and it's like, oh, that's such a cool program. But like, what's the day to day for you?
It's fun. And people, it's like a hardworking day, especially if you're an athlete. Like people have different schedules. You have the time you work out alone, individual workouts. So basically me, I work out at 6. So I'll be in the gym like 5:30. Wow. And then I lift at 7 to 8. Mm-hmm. And then we do a team practice and then everybody leaves the gym. We go get some breakfast, do school, and then hang out together. We have like a cafeteria. Mm-hmm. So we have a pool table, we have video games, we have TVs. We just hang out there and then have fun and then talk to each other, learn different cultures, different languages, because all of us are from different places of Africa. So we try to communicate, and then maybe I'm trying to learn French too.
There you go, man.
Yeah. Awesome.
But French is a little bit hard. So
I'm telling you, man, every additional language you learn is going to come back 10 times down the road. You'll never know like when it's like, oh, this came in handy.
Yes.
That is wild when you think about it. It's like you come to this academy and it's the best players from all over the continent, but some of them speak French, some of them speak English, some of them
Portuguese
if you're coming from Angola or you know, Mozambique or one of those places. So how do you guys communicate like that at first before anyone really knows kind of common words?
Yeah. It's a different like way of communicating. We might not speak the same language, but when somebody says something, you get it. No, he says it in his language. Yeah. There's just a way you understand what he's trying to say. And then you be like, oh, this and this. And then they'll start learning English and then we start learning their language too.
You're the youngest player to ever play in the FIBA World Cup.
Yes.
And you, South Sudan, obviously went far for a program that is fairly new.
Yes.
And also not very well funded when you compare to like the big powerhouse countries.
Yes.
First of all, did you understand like how big of a deal it was, not only for you to be playing, but for the team to be playing that well?
Yeah, when I looked at it more, I saw the bigger picture when I went back home, and then I saw what it did for the whole country. Right. Everybody was waiting for us at the airport. Everyone was happy. Everyone was excited. It's like we have something, a sport in the country we support. So it's like, that's when I saw the bigger picture of it, and the Olympics is a big deal.
In Uganda,
yes,
you were playing soccer before you played basketball. Can you tell people how you got into basketball, how you made that switch?
Normally in Africa, everybody plays soccer. Mm-hmm. Everyone who is in Africa who plays basketball, they played soccer before that. But I started playing basketball when I went to watch a camp and then saw tall guys. It's my first time seeing tall people, guys who are taller than me. Right. I barely find them. And then I was excited and I was like, I belong there and that's where I should start. And then the next time, I just came on the court and started dribbling the ball and laying up.
Now, the fun part about playing for South Sudan is that many of the players come from all across, basically, you know, just scattered people, right?
Yes.
How cool was it to, like, meet other guys, like, different backgrounds, but kind of you all have a shared heritage?
It was, we really had to bring it up together and, like, be on the same page at first because we have guys who don't speak the language, maybe guys from Australia who didn't grow up where we're from.
Right.
So we had to teach them how our culture is.
Wow.
So that's why we spent like a month in the camp, and then the camp pretty brought us together pretty good.
Where did you guys do the camp?
We did a camp in Australia, and then we went from Australia to China, and then China to Philippines. Right.
That's so much travel. Did you have a favorite place that you visited?
I'm not among those ones, but I have a favorite place I visited. That's in Rwanda and South Africa, back in Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys, obviously after the World Cup, you went back and you saw the reaction. What was that like for you?
It was a good experience. The first time, I mean, nobody knew me because I wasn't on the team. But the second time, it was more exciting. Yeah. And then my family was happy. My mother, all my siblings were at the airport waiting for me. It's like the first person in the family to play on the national team.
That's amazing. What does your family think about you coming over here and going on this incredible journey across the Midwest, looking at all these schools?
Most of the guys in my family don't know much about basketball, but they don't know how big it is to visit those schools like Kansas, Duke, and all that stuff. So every time I try to explain to them, I'd be like, if you're in the basketball world, you'll know what these schools are, but because you're not there.
The other thing is that they're also very good schools
academically. Yes.
So what are you looking for in as you're trying to make this decision?
Yes.
What are the things that are important to you?
But first of all, the basketball part is the development, how I'm going to develop, how they're going to push me to develop in that player I want to be, and then how they'll help me go to the next step. And I want to go somewhere where I will win too, because I want to play in the NCAA tournament, win a championship, and then be able to move to my next step and I have a championship. And I want to study school too, because when they offer you a scholarship, you can come back years later and finish your school, and that's what I will do too.
From a basketball standpoint, how do you want to develop? Like, who are players that you've looked up to, or, you know, were there guys that you would watch on YouTube when you were figuring all the basketball stuff out?
Oh, when I started playing basketball, I saw videos of Giannis. That was like 2019. Giannis was in his prime, back-to-back MVP, defensive player. So I saw highlights of him and I was so excited. I'm like, I want to be this guy. I want to play like him. I watch a lot of big guys in the NBA. I watch other guys who play between four and three. I watch Joel, I watch Giannis, KD. But to me, I think I'll turn into a player like Anthony Davis. He has my style of play and MB too.
You've only been playing basketball for 4 years.
Yes.
Right? But your development is very apparent.
Yes.
What do you attribute that to? Why have you been able to develop so quickly?
First of all, is the work we do at the academy. Is how they push us, how they develop us into pros. Because all we do at the academy is what the NBA players do. We shoot from the NBA line, we use NBA courts and everything. So they develop me that way, and then I put in the work too. I stayed consistent with the work. I work every day. I make sure I work on my game, whether it's a Sunday or Saturday, do something, work on my craft, because I started basketball late. So I always worked more so that I can catch up with the guys who started before me.
Mm-hmm. Are there any specific superstitions you've developed? Like before a game, is there anything you have to do? Yeah.
No, I have routines, like same routine, maybe the way I stretch, the way I shoot, form shooting and everything. And then I have a routine like before I check in the game, before the game starts. So I'll be on the starting lineup and then I'll touch all my teammates' hands and it always gives me good luck.
When did you realize, oh, I'm actually good at this?
I didn't discover my full potential until I went to the academy. Mm-hmm. Because before I was just playing basketball, it's like normal pickup. Yeah. Until I went to the academy, that's when I realized I can be a good player.
Right.
Yeah, I can be great. I can play basketball and I can change people's life. I can impact people's life using this. And as soon as I went to the academy, and then I decided to put in the work because I knew who I can become.
What's been the hardest part of your journey?
The hardest part was start back where I was. We lacked facilities. Mm-hmm. I'd walk a couple of miles to go where I play basketball. But yeah, the hardest part actually is staying consistent with what you're doing, because with all that walking and getting tired and then all those miles you walk, you're going to play somewhere else in a different city. It would be frustrating, but staying consistent with it was very hard, kind of challenged me before. And then suddenly I just kept on doing it every day, and to help me get an opportunity to come to the academy, and then I got recruited, and then that's how I knew everything could go well from there. Because where we stay, obviously the facility is like, you walk like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and you're already there.
Right.
Yes. So yeah. I had no reason, no excuse. So I had to work out every day.
Were the courts crowded when you would get there?
Yeah, back in Uganda, the court was pretty crowded. I would probably go at 3-2, because by 5, the older guys would come and then they would pick up teams for pickup, and then they won't pick you, obviously, because you're young, and they'll pick somebody stronger than you.
Right.
And then you play in the World Cup, and you're like, haha, I should have picked me.
Yeah.
If you could compete in any of the Saturday night things, so either dunk contest, three-point shootout, or skills competition,
yes,
which one would you want to compete in?
I'll go with the skills one, or the three-point contest. Yeah. Those ones are better. Yeah, I'll probably go with the skills one. I can win there, too.
Yeah, there you go.
Could you beat Steph?
In shooting?
Yeah, in the three-point contest.
I don't know. I guess we have to find out. Yeah.
Amazing.
That was a good answer.
Yes.
Best of luck to you.
Thank you so
much. Journey,
man.
And hopefully we'll see you again.
Thank you.
But as an all-star.
All right, for sure.
I was going to say, when you're an all-star and you're too big and famous for us, you still got to come back, because this is the first one we did.
All right, I will.
Okay?
All right.
Dan Le Batard.
Sports.
Stugats.
More sports.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugats.
I want to talk about whether we have enemies.
Mm. We know you do.
Because I have been developing a list.
I can't wait to hear it.
I'm not somebody who naturally has...
That is a big zig where I thought you would zag. Right. You having a list of enemies feels so pure in some way.
My niece, who is 9 years old, said something. We were at dinner and she was like, I've never heard you yell at anybody.
I've never heard you yell at anybody either. It would make me wildly uncomfortable to hear you yell.
And I did not know that this was a thing about me that was so obvious to others. Mm. It was not obvious to me, but of course it's true. I don't remember the last time I really yelled at anyone. Mm. And so trying to generate hatred in list form was inspired by this.
I have a rivals list. Everyone in the media that is within 2 years of me or younger than me, I must vanquish and I must be more successful than. I have to do it. They are all my rivals. And the reason I mention it is right now, rising to the top of the rivals list is Pablo Torre, and he will be vanquished. The top Pablo's younger than me. Pablo made fun of me a bit on the show the other day, which only solidified that he is my rival. And it doesn't matter that we're friendly. It doesn't matter that he's always been kind to me. It doesn't matter that I was at a Christmas party with him. I will vanquish Pablo Torre.
And then Nick Wright, host on FS1, opened his show with Kevin Wilds,
like
on-air
this.
Talent now, which we all know him as a producer, but on-air talent.
Correct.
Live from New York.
Spilled some coffee.
So, of yours or mine?
Mine. Sorry about that.
The show that's going to vanquish Pablo Torre.
Oh, come on. Don't put that on the air.
Why? I'm serious about it.
Okay, all right.
If you want to do it.
We're going to do it together. All right.
That's
or am I?
That's y'all.
So I'm left here wondering, like, what to do with all of this. And so I have a list of enemies. Mm-hmm. I put into my notepad app. And so number one is Vivek Ramaswamy, who, if you listen to PTFO,
I mean,
obviously.
Awesome enemy.
Good enemy to have.
Yeah. The guy f***ing sucks and is deserving of yelling at. Number two is currently Nick Wright.
He asked for it.
Yeah, you gotta. Otherwise, you look soft.
Mm-hmm. So advise me.
He called you a rival, not an enemy. I think that's a compliment. You think of me. That's very sweet. You could always do the, like, oh, I don't think of the Don Ember. Yeah. Like, I don't think of you at all. Or put him on your rivals list. Whatever motivates you, because all that is fuel for you.
I think it does depend on what motivates you. What motivates me with my enemies, I have enemies. I'm not going to name them, because to me, the most powerful thing I can do is not name them, not let them know I ever think about them, and then succeed.
Yeah.
So it's me trying to succeed as a form of, well, try me now, or getting to a place where I have enough power in this industry in myself to not be pushed around by people in the past who were able to push me around. So that's sort of my MO. So I don't even know if I would have acknowledged the Nick Wright.
Mm.
Except that you have to, because it's content. You have to.
Yeah, it's
so
content.
So you need to walk this line where, like, it could be a joke to you.
What's your relationship with Nick Wright? You're friendly.
So we went to this Christmas party, Kevin Wilds' family Christmas party.
I have my invite lost in the mail.
Don't know Kevin Wilds, but my last name is Wilder, so it feels like I should have been grandfathered.
Maybe he sees you as a rival, because if he's Wild, you're Wilder.
Maybe.
Just one keystroke away.
Yeah.
Two.
He's just a typo of you.
Right. Oh, wait, Wilds. Sorry. Math.
I liked Nick. I liked Nick.
Oh, shit.
No, you can still like him.
So once upon a time, I was like, I would have reacted more like, I'm kind of insulted that I'm Nick Wright's rival. Like, what the f-? And now I'm like, Nick's killing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Like, but now I'm complimenting him. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, am I supposed to do that?
Yes, you are.
I think he was sort of doing that.
That was absolutely a compliment. He's saying your name. It wasn't like a Stephen A. Smith video, like the
very carefully placed.
Which, let me just say, Dan and I, like, made food and, like, sat down and, like, you know, did the drugs that we do, just and watched that. And what a high point of my recent.
Literally.
But anyway.
No one has line read the word bastard
exactly
better than Stephen A.
But so that's not what he was doing. He said, my rivals are anybody within 2 years of me.
How old is he?
So I'm 38, turning 39 in September. He is older than me.
I think he's 40. I think it'll be my guess.
39?
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Ooh. But you still have time to invite me to your 40th birthday party.
October 3rd, 1984.
He's a year older than me.
Yeah.
And I'm a Libra.
He's September. A Libra.
Yeah.
Ooh. Mm. That's why you're rivals.
Mm.
It all comes back to astrology.
I feel like, for content reasons, and I should not even say this for content reasons, I'm gonna play this up.
Yeah,
great.
That's fine. I think it'd be fine.
Your
think
face for the audio listeners. I wish they could have seen the shrug and sort of resigned smile Pablo just gave, because that was beautiful.
I'm an enemies guy now.
Is it kayfabe? It could just give the people
what
they want.
He did say he wanted to vanquish me.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Take up arms.
Take away your show?
He wants to wield.
How do you vanquish
sword?
Someone with content?
Yeah, he wants to cut my head off with a samurai
content.
Sword.
I have an enemy currently, actually.
Who's
yeah,
that?
Charlotte mentioned an enemy that she refused to say, and I would like her to say it, and we'll bleep the name out, but I would like to react to who this enemy is.
Oh, well, it's the Kate agent who wouldn't let me bring my fanny pack on as a third personal item, which is absolute garbage because it's attached to me. How does that take up space in the back? It's only taking up my own space.
Shirt. What was it doing on the outside of your shirt? Put it under your shirt.
She spotted me before. This was a few months ago. Now I have enough coats that it just...
Smart.
I could just... You know, it's just like a tire around my waist. But, you know, she, at the time, it was warmer and I didn't have my coat on yet. And she had spotted me before I had a chance. And then, but it couldn't fit in my bag. Guys, it was stressful. So that's an enemy.
That's a good enemy to have.
I also, actually, you know what? At one point I did have a public enemy, which was Ed Werder,
because I tweeted there was a job opening at Sports Illustrated.
I think I remember this.
Which is something I would love to be able to say now. Mm. Thank you. Speaking of enemies. Sure. Thank you to ABG.
Yeah. Authentic Brands
Group.
I can't believe that's their name. It's so funny every time.
It is the funniest
Authentic
possible
Brands
name.
Authentic Brands Group. And they're just a corporate
inauthentic brand
shoe
group.
Stomping out authentic.
So anyway, so and there was a job opening and I tweeted it and I think I said something like, if you're a woman or a person of color, especially reach out to me about this job opening. And Edward or quote tweets it and he was like, oh, what? Like men aren't like white guys can't be good too. Like, yeah. And then we got into a whole back and forth. I don't think I would now. I think I'd just be like, Ed, knock yourself out, buddy. But I was like, indignant at the time. I needed to cape for journalism and for those who don't have a chance. And then, and like also in the process, like get a bunch more Twitter followers and look. By the end of it he was getting so dunked on that
capitalism was what I meant. What does it mean at this point?
Oh,
is it?
I thought we were saying content.
Oh no, I meant capitalism, unfettered content. It doesn't matter. It's
they're
C-word.
Gonna beep all of these. It's gonna sound like we're just saying the actual
C-words.
Anyway, by the end of it, and everyone was like, "Charlotte, you're amazing. Edward, or you suck." I felt so gross by the end of it. I was like, "I hate this." Even being like the main character in a good way on the internet is gross. It's
so
disgusting.
You vanquished Edward, or didn't love how it felt.
Yeah, I didn't, and I have no ill will towards Edward, but it did give me one of the greatest gifts of my life, which was the headline Edward on TMZ. This was on TMZ, a headline, Ed Werder accuses SI writer of sexism, .. against men.
Wow.
I mean,
that is
a picture of me and Ed Werder.
.. now.
A picture of me and Ed Werder next to each other.
Beautiful.
Oh,
I remember
man.
That battle. It was a good beef.
Yeah, so shout out to Ed. He's not an enemy.
I have roles I could identify. I'm not going to tell you who the people are, but like I've got a one enemy. Enemy light. Not rival, just a person I don't think well of. And if given the chance to bring negative or positive outcomes into their life, I will choose negative. That's this list of people. It's like, if given the chance,
that's a long
I'm not picking I'm not taking the road less track. I'm going to give them the short end of the stick. One of them's a guy who runs a charity that I donated a lot of money to when I did not have any money. That then when I got on baseball, he was like, he tweeted a picture of us in the booth and said, who even are any of these people? That guy. Then there's a man who I feel is mostly responsible for the outcome of one of my shows no longer being a show. he knows who he is, and it's we're not. Then there's actually another one of those at the second stop, and he just got a promotion, so good for him. But again, if his path crosses mine, it'll be a demotion. And then there's an ex. Everybody's got one ex that it's like I no idea where this person is at this point, or like what their life is about. I don't keep any tabs on them. I hope it's going poorly.
Mm-hmm. That guy sounds like a C word.
Yeah. An unfettered C word.
Unfettered C word. Can you guys help me workshop how to vanquish Nick Wright, though? Like a burn, like a good roast?
Yeah, I mean, say something like, Nick Wright, more than like Nick Wrong.
Yeah, that's bad, so don't do that.
Yeah.
But you could talk
keep
about
that in the
how
maybe pile.
His wife dresses him, he can't dress himself.
Oh. A compliment and an insult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about something like
that was Katie was like ready.
I
with
love
that.
His wife. I'm like a big fan.
I know
of Nick
she's
wife.
Great.
Don't let her be.
She's at the Christmas party.
Her.
No, she's at the Christmas party. Yeah. She was great.
Yeah.
You know, I know how you should. I know how you can vanquish Nick Wright. Have him on your show.
Actually, that feels like he feels like Nick Wright is, and I love Nick Wright. I will say I put Nick Wright on my show before multiple people were putting them on their show. So I don't think Nick Wright and I are rivals.
I'm only prefacing that because of what I'm about to say.
You're supposed to be my...
prefacing it because
He's
of the mean thing I'm about
now.
To say, which is that Nick Wright does give the energy of come on my show and debate me then. He's the guy that's like, he's strong at doing that.
Yes.
Which is
he
why
can back you into a mental
have
corner.
Him onto your show.
Yeah. I still worry about you. I wouldn't want you to take an unnecessary L.
Well, I just
L.
think invite him
How
on for like a nice time.
Katie Nolan might be number three on my enemies list. Marcus Jordan and Lars Pippen were going to be number three.
Mm.
Katie Nolan doubting whether I could defeat Nick Wright, that ass bitch, in a debate.
A PAB? He called him a PAB?
Unfettered.
Oh my God.
PAB.
Listen. PAB?
Yeah, now you have to do it.
You don't go into every fight thinking you can lose it? Is that just me? Every time there's a possible fight, I'm like, how am I going to fall
it's
flat
like
on my face
superstars in the dunk
here?
Contest.
Yeah, dude.
I appreciate how much you worry about me.
Yeah.
I'm like, go for it, man.
Yeah, dude, content.
It's going to come out awesome. Seriously, everybody would watch that, though.
I like that Katie Nolan is the gate agent at the...
You can't bring that on. You have too many guys.
At my ego.
You cannot.
And I'm like, do it.
You've got enough, sir.
That is...
You've got enough.
Too much dip on your fanny pack, sir.
Have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.